Well, we've been ministering on God's love to us and God's love working through us all year long. And we'll continue until he has another direction for us to go. But I'm seeing a difference in the church and in people and having testimonies of transformation, which I like, and that's what love does. That's what God's love brings, is transformation. It brings change. It makes us better. God is love. And so it's good to talk about it and minister on it. Matthew 24 talks about the last days before Jesus comes again and says that lawlessness will abound and the love of many will grow cold. And so we don't want that to happen to you or to happen here at Good News Church. We want your love to be hot and on fire and moving and working. Well, let's start off with John 16, verse 33. And you know that John 13 through John 17 is what Jesus ministered at the Last Supper, you know, just before he's going to the cross. And so his last words are important for the disciples, kind of the last instructions for them and words for them to help them through all that's about to come. And in John 16, verse 33 says this, "These things I have spoken to you," this is in red in your Bible, in most Bibles, this is Jesus talking, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." Turn to your neighbor and say, "Jesus wants you to have peace." "In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Now, this word tribulation is not just living in a fallen world. My wife and I were talking about the other day as we were kind of driving and about things. And you ever notice how everything decays? You know, your house, your car, your stuff. I won't talk about our bodies. But, you know, we live in a fallen world, and things are decaying. But that's not what this is talking about here. This word was used in the Roman days for a form of execution. And what it was is they'd have a big boulder, with a rope around it, lifted by a bunch of men, and you'd have the prisoner laying there on the ground, and the boulder is going to be slowly lowered on their chest until it crushes them to death. This is the word that was used for that. So this is serious, serious tribulation. And so what it's talking about is a grueling, crushing, unbearable, and seemingly impossible trial. Now, you don't have to raise your hand, but have you ever been through something like that? And you may even feel like the world's crushing you. You may be going through that today. So Jesus is telling us, for all of us, this is going to happen. And if it's not happening to you, it's happening to your loved ones, to other ones. I mean, there's an enemy, John 10 talks about, that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his mission. And he's working that 24/7. He's good at his job. And so there is trials and tribulations that all of us are dealing with. And if not us right now, people that we know and love and care for are. So Jesus is preparing us for that. But he's telling us there's peace in the midst of the storm. And that he's already defeated the enemy and he's got a way of victory for you in whatever trial, whatever crushing situation you're dealing with. Let me read these same verses in the Amplified version. It said, "I have told you these things that you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration, but be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you." So that's good news today. We need some good news. How many know there's a lot of division and chaos going outside these doors of this church here in people's lives and in the world? Just a lot of things happening. And so this is good news. Jesus said these things would happen, but he's got a way to go through it and to escape. And so he knows exactly what you need to come through any trial. He already has a way of victory planned. He's got comfort, counsel, help, prayer, strength, wisdom, peace, joy, encouragement for you to help you overcome. I love Matthew 11, verse 28, and I want to read this in the Message translation, paraphrase. And you can answer this question if you want. Are you tired? Worn out? How about this one? Maybe just here for, you go to church on Christmas, Easter, or Mother's Day. Burned out on religion? A lot of folks have burned out on religion, tired of religion. Jesus is saying, come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. You ever been on a vacation to some place and spent a lot of money and came back exhausted? Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Now, there's some key words in here. Come to me. Come to me. Come to Jesus. Come to God. And then on down in the verses, it says, keep company with me. James says, draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. We have to come to him. I mean, his love, his grace, his mercy is there, his peace. But we have to be receptive. He's not going to force it on us. He's not going to make us live a certain way. We have to come to him. Now, I won't read all of Psalm 23, but you can just put up, the first verse there. And, this is the psalm about the great shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And it talks, a sheep is not going to make it on its own. Needs a shepherd. And then it goes on to say all the things the shepherd does. One of them is your rod and staff will comfort me. But also, he leads you through the valley of the shadow of death. Through it. He didn't promise you wouldn't be any valleys of shadows of death. But he said he'll lead you through it. Now, for some strange reason, we like to handle things on our own. Proverbs 14:12 says this, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. I like what the Passion translation says. You can rationalize it all you want and justify the path of error you have chosen, but you'll find out in the end that you took the road to destruction. We try to handle things on our own. And we try to find peace and try to find comfort in a lot of things. I mean, you don't have to raise your hand, but who's here tried drugs? Alcohol. Pornography. Affairs, debt, spending, all kinds of destructive behavior to give us comfort and peace. Now, Satan tempted Adam and Eve with a counterfeit, and they took it. Actually, they were taking something that God already had for them, but they felt lack and they felt need, but God already had it for them. But God had something better planned, but they wanted to do it themselves. They believed the lie of the enemy. And we're living in the United States and rugged individualism, but they thought they could do it on their own. I can make it on my own. I've got this. I don't need anybody's help. I'm the one that gives help to others. I don't need any help. Well, that's pride. We all need help. We all need each other. says pride comes before destruction. And so what the enemy wants to do is to isolate you, get you separated from the ones that love you and the ones that care for you and the ones that are there for you. God's got people in each of our lives, but the enemy, again, tries to separate us. He's trying to get the sheep separated so the wolf can come and devour, steal, kill, and destroy. And so we say this around here, that the day you feel your worst is the day you need to be in church or to be around other believers. And it's hard. It's hard some days. I mean, you know, it's hard for me to come to church some days, and I'm the pastor, and I'm preaching. But isn't it interesting, and I skipped over this verse, but isn't it interesting that one of the names of the Holy Spirit, the primary name, is Comforter? Can you put up John 16:7 in Amplified? However, I'm telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, good, expedient, advantageous that I go away. Isn't that something? Jesus is saying it's advantageous for me to go away. Because if I do not go away, the Comforter. Everybody say Comforter. And now it's going to kind of go in and describe what this comfort is. Counselor, helper, advocate, intercessor, strengthener, standby. And the list can continue here. Encourager will not come to you into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. God, the Holy Spirit, knows exactly what you need to get through any trial, through any tribulation. He's got a way to victory. He's got a way for you to overcome. But we can't go it alone. And too many people, even believers, are trying to go it alone. And if that's you today, make a change. We need each other. Enemy wants to divide and conquer. So where is the comfort that we need found? I'm going to give you just three different areas, ways that comfort comes. The first one is through the Word. Romans 15, verse 4 says this, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Do you need hope today? Are you down? Are you depressed? You feel like you're going backwards? You facing an impossible situation? Go to God's Word. "Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus." The Scripture says in Matthew 4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." We need His Word to live. We need His Word to make it. We need His Word to get through any trial or tribulation. It's food. It's nourishment. It brings strength. Now, we talk about comfort food, right? And I know it's a Mother's Day, but, you know, food's big on Mother's Day. But, you know, Martha here, this is my mother-in-law. Martha, happy Mother's Day to you. And she is a great-grandmother, by the way. Great-great-grandmother, right? That's awesome. Martha makes amazing fried chicken.
Amen.
And I would dare say, and I don't think I'm lying here, her fried chicken is so good, it's like dessert. I'm telling you. That's comfort food. But as good as her fried chicken is, And I ate it, and it's good, and I feel better, but it doesn't help me through my tribulations. Anybody here like double-stuffed Oreos? Hey! You've been preaching against that to me, you know. No. Double-stuffed Oreo, you know, they say double-stuffed goodness. Well, I have a few of those Oreos. All I get is bigger. It doesn't bring comfort from my tribulation. In fact, I think it makes it worse. It's not a double stuff of goodness, it's a double stuff of worseness. So the word, another way God comforts us is through prayer. Look at Romans. We've had some great prayer times, and I want to encourage you, if you've not been able to make it to the last few weeks, we got another week to go. Let's finish strong. Come on out. We have it at noon and Monday through Friday, noon and at 6. Go for an hour. And then we'll have it on Saturday, next Saturday and Sunday at 9:30. But Romans 8, verse 26, all of Romans 8 is fantastic. But Romans 8, verse 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit, what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And so when the Spirit of God is praying through you, we talk about praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit. It's praying the perfect will of God. And I talked about that some weeks back, where we're actually connecting with the intercessions of Jesus, with his prayers in heaven. That's one of his roles as intercessor. He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, this word weakness means fragile. You ever felt fragile? It means, of course, weakness. It means sickness. It means want of strength. It means confusion. It means temptation. And then, to fit along with what we've been saying, it means troubles and trials. So today, if you're feeling fragile, if you're feeling weak, you're feeling sick in your body or your mind, you feel like you have no strength, you're confused, you're tempted, you're dealing with a trial or a tribulation, pray. Pray in the Spirit. There's only so much we can pray about. We can have our list and pray about it in our language, but then we just run out of words. But when you pray in tongues, you're praying mysteries. You're praying the will of God. And then Corinthians talks about, I pray in the Spirit and I pray with my understanding so my mind will be fruitful. And so I ask God, show me what I'm, reveal to me what I'm praying about. And what I need to know, he'll show me. So my mind will be enlightened and have understanding. How many times have I gone into prayer just going through it, not knowing what to do, discouraged? Hey, if you want to be in full-time ministry, you're going to have to know how to deal with discouragement, because discouragement comes knocking on your door every single day. But I've learned to go to God. I've learned to pray. I've learned to pray in other tongues, pray in the Spirit. And it's amazing, that peace that surpasses all understanding. It's so amazing, your mind can't comprehend it. Yes. You could be like Jesus in the midst of the storm, in the back of the boat, asleep. Just confidence. Even though it's hard, even though the situation's impossible, God's got a way. He's got me through all the other 100 trials I've been through. He's going to get me through this one. He's got victory. Yeah. I'm going through. And God's not doing the trial, but through the midst of it, I'm building character. I'm getting stronger. I'm better. And I'm going to be able to help more people. So I just want to encourage you today. God's taking you through. Victory is just right there. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't draw back. Don't isolate yourself. Those are all lies and tricks of the enemy. I mean, so many things he just conjures up in our minds to separate us from people. The littlest things to bring offense, to bring strife, to bring bitterness. That's where he wants you. Offense, Mark 4 talks about offense. Offense chokes and strangles the word. The very thing we need to live, offense chokes it out. He's mean. He's mean. He doesn't fight fair. And he seems to know how to hit you when you're at your weakest. So prayer in the Spirit. Y'all need this. That's why we're doing this 21 days of prayer. We're not just doing it just for fun. Or prayer can be fun. But y'all need this. And some of you could use a little fasting. That's all I'm going to say about that. I've been on a lot of trips, 4 or 5 trips in the last month or so, month and a half. A lot of things happening. And how many know when you get away from home and out of your routine, you can eat a lot of double stuffed Oreos. Or whatever your thing is. You know, you're driving down the road and you got your soda to keep you going, and you got your Fritos or whatever. You're just kind of munching them down, and you think it's helping you. But I tell you what, 4 or 5 weeks of that, you feel lousy. You don't feel good. Your clothes are tight. You don't want to get up in the morning. You don't want to do anything. You don't feel good. And so I was kind of feeling that way. But then we started some fasting at our house. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you, Frank. I didn't want to do fasting. My body was saying, no, not today, not this week, not this year. But thank God for my beautiful, lovely, awesome wife and mother. She's a mother to my kids. She's not my mother. That's called a Freudian slip there. Yeah. But anyway, she just, because I am helpless when it comes to the kitchen. So whatever she decides to do with food affects me. Because when I'm away, I can just buy this and buy that, and Susie's not there, and eat that, and so if she decides we're going to fast, we're going to fast. And I tell you, I tempt her with every kind of restaurant thing to break the fast. She's tough. But we started fasting, and the first day it was rough. We missed one meal. And I'm like, it's the end of the world, man. But I tell you, the second day, I just felt so much better. I felt better. My clothes fit better. I felt strength. I had energy. I had clear thinking. Some of you just got a fog in your brain from the food you eat. Where am I? What am I talking about? Prayer and fasting. All right, last place that I want to talk about comfort coming from is through people. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. This word comfort comes from the same series of Greek words that the word paraclete comes from, which was the name for the Holy Spirit, comforter. He is the comforter. And you saw all that that meant. Intercessor, standby, strengthener, encourager. Well, this comfort that he's talking about here, it's the Greek word paraklesis. So it's in the same word, set of words that paraclete, the word for the Holy Spirit, is found. Para means to come alongside. To come alongside and be present. The word klesis means to summon or to call. I'm a Greek expert, by the way. No. So here's the image of this word comfort. Someone that comes alongside to help. Comes alongside to help. And then calls or summons you to a higher place. And that's the comfort that we're talking about right here. The word tribulation is the same word I mentioned before. Crushing, pressure, stress. So God's that kind of comfort for us. And yeah, it comes from God, but so many times he uses people. And you may be sitting here, well, I don't have any words of comfort. Well, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, first of all, just your presence will bring comfort. And then as you begin to grow in this and you realize the Holy Spirit's in you, the Holy Spirit will give you words. Not weird words from up here, but words from in here. And you'll grow in this, and you'll learn how to comfort people with your presence and your words. And God's going to use you. How many have been comforted by someone before? Ever been helped through a situation by the words and the presence of somebody else? Someone that cares for you? Someone that loves you? I had a situation years ago and dealing with the bank. We were trying to refinance for the church and it wasn't working out. It was just kind of really tough times economically. And we couldn't find anybody to refinance our loan. And it was stressing me out. And at one point, we actually got behind. So I am really stressed out and pressured. And I've got a meeting with the bank. And so I'm in my office right over here about to go to the meeting, and I am literally just shaking in fear. You ever been there? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Just the stress of the pressure, the crushing pressure. I mean, I'm just shaking, seriously, in my office. This is the pastor of Good News Church, Mr. Man of Faith and Power. Gets up and teaches others, preaches all the different things, counsels all the different things. I am shaking in fear and stress and pressure. Because I'm looking at things in the natural. I'm looking at things on paper. Ex-accountant, former accountant, knows the numbers. And so in myself, on this paper, it's impossible. I'm not going to make it. I'm going down. We're going down. You didn't know it, but you're going down. So what did I do? I went and got my lovely wife here. Her office is right next to mine. You didn't hear me shaking in there? I was waiting on you to come, and you never came, so I had to go get you. I bring her in there, and then she just is like laughing at me. And that may not seem like comfort, but it was like what I needed. Then she laid hands on me and prayed in the Spirit and prayed with her understanding, just really simple words, until I stopped shaking, until that peace came. And that peace was with me, and it was with me all the way to the bank. And for that meeting, we worked it out. God worked it out. And we are here today. Good things happening. Whoosh, made it through that one. I told you my story about Nigeria, missing my airplane. And I'm standing there, midnight, Lagos, in a very dangerous place. And I feel like everybody's looking at me. The Delta people are laughing at me because I missed my flight. I felt like this is a setup and they're, you know, this is it for me, you know. And I was trying to remain calm, but what did I do? I called Susie. Susie's in a CADA classroom. Right, I mean, were you doing your math? She was teaching. Thank God she picked up her phone. And I said, Susie, and this is humbling, you know. I asked you to pray for me. I'm in distress. And I don't know, you know, I'm nervous here. I mean, I got to go into the dungeon of the airport to get my bags. They called it the dungeon. And she prayed for me, you know, 9 time zones away. Prayed for me, and I just felt that peace come. And through a series of miracles, I got back to my hotel room. God's got comfort. But you got to be willing to come to Him. And you may have to be willing to go to your brother or your sister and ask for help. Ask for prayer. Ask for counsel. And then we've got to be willing to follow the Holy Spirit. And we may need to go. Maybe some uncomfortable situations. Maybe go to the hospital. Maybe go to the funeral home. Go to whatever the situation is. God wants to use you to comfort someone else. Now, you're not Jesus. You don't have to have all the answers. Sometimes it's just going and being present. But as you do this and as you follow the Holy Spirit, you're going to get better at it. It's amazing at this church. We are very good at comforting people. But we've been growing in that. We're getting better at that. Letting the Holy Spirit work through us. The final result of comfort is courage. Courage to get up. Courage to move forward. Courage to live. Courage to obey God. Now I want to close with this last verse here, Hebrews 10. And I think it's really an important verse for people right now. Hebrews 10. You know, we look at in the United States, national trends. Church attendance is declining. People aren't going to church like they used to go. Maybe they used to go every Sunday. Now they're going 1 or 2 Sundays. But look at what, and God foresaw this. But look at what Hebrews 10, verse 24 says. And let us consider and give attentive, continuous care to watching over one another. This is what the church should be. It's not controlling, but watching over one another, studying how we may stir up, stimulate, and incite to love and helpful deeds and noble activities. Not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together as believers, as is the habit of some people. Don't get in that habit. Now, Good News Church may not be your church, but whatever the Lord's leading you, you go there. You be faithful. You need to be there. So many times we look at it from a perspective too, like, what do I need? But there's people there that need you. People here that need you. God may use you today after this service to comfort somebody. As is the habit of some people, but admonishing, warning, urging, encouraging one another all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. I tell you, I can't think of a better hour to be in church. I can't think of a better hour to have a church family. I can't think of a better hour to be in a Bible study or a prayer group or to be with other believers, because if you don't need it now, you're going to need it. But then we are blessed to be a blessing. And wouldn't it be amazing if we went to these things for other people? Now, this is going to sound kind of harsh, but people, you know, I say I'm called, and I am. I'm called a pastor. I am a pastor. I am a pastor. Called by God to be a pastor. And so you have no problem with me studying. I mean, you want me studying. You want me praying. You want me showing up, right? Maybe you don't. I don't know. But, you know, well, you're called. Well, we need to realize that we're all called. Yes. God calls you to churches. That's right. It's not a one-man, one-woman show. It's a body. Yes. Jesus is the head, and we're his body. He needs everybody on deck. And the Comforter lives in you. And he knew you'd go through trials. But one of the most amazing ways to go through a trial is for you to be a comfort to somebody else. The enemy wants you to be selfish during times of trial. But that's the time we need to be sowing. We need to be blessing. It's hard. It's not easy. It's not easy coming to church when you're hurting. It's not easy being around others when you're hurting and they seem to be doing great. But when one rejoices, we all rejoice. When one weeps, we all weep. And we don't want to be just people there that are there for the good times. You're called. You're called as an ambassador for Christ. You're called as a minister of reconciliation. You are called by God, just like I'm called to pastor. And we need to walk in our role and realize even just our presence. When we come on the scene, Jesus comes on the scene. When we come on the scene, the Comforter comes on the scene. When we come on the scene, the Intercessor, the Standby, the Helper, it's in you, working through you. It's going to change that situation. And if he gives you something to say, you say it. What kind of church are we going to be? We're going to be a church of condemnation? Or are we going to be a church of confronting? Comfort and confront are pretty close together there. I'm telling you, in the days ahead, you all know it's crazy out there. It is getting crazier. We need each other, and we need the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and we need a comfort like never before. Praise God. I don't have to end it because I